Good morning. Today is Friday, the last weekday of 2022. Okay, gut check. Joining us this morning is, okay, the Dean of the College of Natural Resources at Cal Poly Humboldt.
Thank you. Hello.
Ooh, Eric Riggs. Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Made it through the year.
Yeah. I know, right?
Well, not yet. I have a procedure this afternoon that then I'll get cocky sometime around 1 o'clock. I made it through.
Yeah. The year could have a couple of surprises in store for us yet, right?
Yeah. Imagine that. Are you ready for a while? Or why do we say that?
Sure.
Why do we say stand pat?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I was immediately flashing back to the Saturday Night Live character, Pat. That's all I got. That's the best I could do.
Deep as you go. Okay. Several common substances were long patted into shape by hand. This job took more skill than a person watching for the first time might think. Dexterity involved in patting butter, dough, or potter's clay caused anything apt and clever to be called pat. Poker buffs followed the household term and used it to name an original hand not likely to be improved by drawing additional cards. Is it dawning yet?
Well, there you go.
Okay, we're getting there. An experienced player dealt with the right cards would stand pat and say no when offered more cards. Whether in a business conference or a meeting of the PTA, a person who has never played poker can stand pat by refusing to budge or by resisting even a minor change. Kind of like an attitude.
It has nothing to do with universities. So.
No.
Standing pat, I think, is what some people are really good at.
That's, yeah.
In the nicest possible way.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I meant that in the nicest possible way. Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Has so-and-so changed their mind? No, they're standing pat.
Yeah. Well, good. It's glad that they have that commitment.
That's it. Commitment, right?
Yes, yeah. So you guys are what, midway through the first year?
Yes, sir, we are. It's right at the nice gap between fall and spring in the academic world. So
you're in Christmas break.
Christmas break, yes, indeed.
I got an academic to say Christmas break.
Well, yeah, I suppose you have to call it a holiday break,
break. No, you don't have to.
No, you don't.
Christmas break.
I think just, I would call it that because it works for my family.
Good.
It works. Somebody wants to call it a Hanukkah break, they can have at it, or any other holiday they want to insert into that space, a New Year's Eve break, because sometimes it takes that long, right?
Recovery?
We'll find out in a couple of days for most people.
Exactly. So how's the first little bit? How's it been handled? Do you think that the community was ready for this thing? Was
the whole
Cal Poly
thing?
Ready for the thing? Yeah. And the new kids, the type of kids, I mean, just everything, it's different.
It's a lot all at once. And so the folks that are here currently on campus are pretty much the same students, I think, that were around historically for the last, 10 years-ish. And I think we're starting to see the end of the sort of the COVID recovery, restarting the university. It felt like a regular.
Was that an issue?
Getting it rolling again?
Yeah.
And that was just as I was arriving, to be fair. But as I got there, I mean, people were still trying to figure out how to get key card systems turned back on because they had all timed out because everybody, if you didn't swipe in a year, you get dropped out of the system. And so.
Was that teachers or was that kids?
Yes. I mean, so. I mean,
obviously, things have changed a little bit since I went.
Yes.
For a couple of years.
Yeah. But I mean, that was just a symptom, right? I mean, there were all kinds of things like that. We haven't turned that on in 2 years. Does it still work? You know?
Like it snuck up.
like windstorms and broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. You have an engine, you try it every 6 months just to see, check the levels of the fuel.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You have a car in the garage, you move it every once in a while just to make sure.
Fire up the generator. I mean, fortunately, the earth, provided a nice reminder for us to check our propane stores and things like that.
Yeah, plumbing and all those types of things.
Just in case you haven't rotated your water in your house, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I think this fall... felt a bit more normal, and there was we've got a new winter commencement that we do for folks that are graduating mid-year, so they don't have to try to come back in May if they don't want to. They certainly can, but if they've got a job and they're taking off and they're going to points beyond, then winding their way back into the Redwoods could be a chore.
And so, I would suspect that a larger percentage now have them just because there's so fewer people out looking for jobs.
Yeah, it's yipes. It's competitive, right?
Yeah, yeah, which is interesting. Not that you do this kind of thing, Eric, but any idea how many, what percentage of the kids, student body now, are working their way through college? I mean, in the old days, I know kind of roughly what it was like, and you had those that were on rides, and you, everybody was jealous of them. And then you had the trust fund kids, and you can tell because they didn't care about too much anything of anything other than Friday and Saturday night.
There you go.
But a lot of folks were working their way through.
Yeah.
And that changed over the last 20 years or so with all the scholarships and the grants and the thises and the thats.
Yeah, that said, I think a lot of our students still work. Some occasionally they're raising families even or helping with families.
For sure, the non-traditionals,
Yeah, and I think that population is, you know, Humboldt has drawn a lot of fairly non-traditional students for, I guess, traditionally non-traditional place.
Let's just say historically.
Yeah, that's a better choice.
40 years,
Yeah, and so I think, I mean, that's one of the attractions of the university that we've got is that it's full of students that come from all walks of life and they bring with them all the challenges and issues that, you know, regular, and not so much just the trust fund set, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many trust funds we got other than when I was there, there were some kids from the Arabian countries. And they all had Trans Ams, and they all liked to tell everybody how rich they were.
There you go.
Well, and let's just say they weren't embraced by all segments of the student body.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It would be a rough fit.
Yeah, exactly. So as things are settling down now a little bit and you're hitting stride, what surprises?
Well, the surprises have been difficult to the surprises have been twofold that I can think of. First of all, there's been some very weird gaps in enrollments in upper division classes, for example. And that's because a lot of students were sitting out their first couple of years of college instead of coming in right out of high school. So the pandemic messed up some things. So we've had to cover some, you know, like the 300, 400 junior, senior level courses. We've had to let them go forward when normally they probably would have been canceled otherwise. And just to get people graduated.
Oh, with small numbers?
Small class, yeah. So there's a little pulse going through.
I believe that's called individual teaching opportunities.
There you go.
Learning.
Yeah, we can.
The duck has flown. Okay,
The duck has flown. We can get back to part two later.
Good. We can count that high. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Eric, as you consider some of those different challenges, you said that before the break that there were some classes that were a little bit more individualized than what they typically are in the upper division classes.
Right.
What about class offerings? I mean, that was always a big battle was, is the class going to be offered this year? And then if so, at what time? You know.
Right.
Not everybody can offer a class from 8 to 10, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Well, so far, class offerings have been pretty robust. I think we've got that squared away. The other challenges have been making sure that the students are prepared for all the classes that they're taking also. Some of them have carried through a number of sort of interesting irregularities in math preparation, other kinds of preparatory skills, because, again, that was pretty uneven coming out of the pandemic. So we've been watching that wash through everybody's curriculum, not just in sciences and engineering or natural resources, but that's happening campus-wide.
Yeah, but in lit, that math thing doesn't really
You know, the amount of...
Take too much, yeah.
Yeah, my first degree was in English literature. I was before I went back to do science. And my calculus brain was definitely idling most of that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking forward, I think this kind of is where you were, I think maybe where you were headed. Who knows? We'll find out. What sort of challenges do we have looking forward? And so looking at what next year is going to bring, especially with the, you know, it's been reported in the press locally, and we see it on our own indicators, just the number of applications that we've received for mostly first-time freshmen, way up. Yeah, like back to 2015-type numbers. And those were the days that I'm told by a number of my faculty, sometimes at great length and with great distress, that where the heck are we going to put people, right? I mean, there's no room to teach all these students.
Four o'clock works, and so does six.
That's right. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's
you run labs from 8 to 8, you know, or later. You know, I used to take labs until 10 at night, you know. But
yeah, it's always been interesting for me. You've got the facility that's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the roof works 24 hours and the walls work 24 hours and the heating works 24 hours and the plumbing does.
Yep.
But those employed inside don't.
That's true.
And it's like, wait a minute, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there are teachers, just as there are with radio people. There are some that are morning people and some that are not. And some that are evening people and some that are not.
True.
Okay. And the same with the kids. So I would think that would give greater flexibility and customization, if you will, of when the classes could be taught, when the teachers are hitting their stride, whatever their personal stride is.
Yeah. No, that's right. And so I think we've been trying to optimize, and again, this goes beyond my college, but in all three colleges, trying to coordinate where do students need to be, when do they have these sort of very popular key courses that they need to hit that everybody needs. And how do we maneuver the rest of the material and space around that such that, you know, people can actually fit it into a reasonable workload and you don't have folks showing up doing a split shift unless that's something they want to do. I think also it brings up the possibilities for either synchronous or asynchronous online classes when appropriate. Sometimes if you have an asynchronous course, like a course you log into and take whenever you feel like it, if you want to do it at 3 a.m, you can. So
a big demand for that? I used to hate those. Not that particular.
Right.
I equate it with watching movies.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay, you sit and you just watch and you fall asleep.
The correspondence course model.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, no. And it's like having lab without having somebody there that knows if you're going to blow something up or not. And it stops you before you do it.
Right.
I mean, you need that interaction. There's very few careers that don't have interaction.
That's right.
So why would you want to have somebody learning at that level instead of learning how to communicate and maybe like ask questions before things are about to hit the fan?
Yeah, I think you need all of it. And I think there are some topics that you can actually teach in more, especially if it isn't just sit down and watch a video of somebody talking at you for an hour.
Yeah, that's super passive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But if you've got things broken out in little interactive 10 or 15-minute segments... Oh. You know, and you build it properly. Some of that material is great, but yeah, I agree. You got to have some interaction at some level, especially as things get more advanced or to the you're about to blow it up stage. You know,
that would be the chemistry classes
there
that they didn't let me sign up for. Yeah.
they saw your record and went, oh no.
It's tough to blow things up in marketing. It just doesn't go well.
Talk to the people who did New Coke, right?
Yeah.
They blew things up in marketing.
Yeah, but you know, somehow that made it past the chairman of the board, too.
Yes. Amazingly.
Yeah. Yep. God, what a fiasco. That one and Herb. Oh, you do remember Herb. Okay.
Oh, man.
I mentioned that to some of the youngers, and it's like, it just doesn't register. It's like, come on, those are like the all-time crater. You can't hardly do worse than that.
I think Musk is trying with Twitter, but that's an editorial opinion. I mean,
yeah, well, that one's...
I'm not sure what he's trying to do there.
That one's almost a cultural thing, though, too. Yeah, he was saving it until he came out that he was conservative, and now he's killing it.
Yeah.
And you go, wait a minute, it's the same guy, he's doing the same thing, you just know a little bit different.
Yeah, his management has been interesting. I mean, that's not my field.
Yeah, now
so
that might be.
I'm watching it, you know, just armchair kind of like fascination, right? Like, wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been my call.
The thing I can't figure out is the guy that bought the Phoenix Suns.
I haven't been following this one.
$6 billion.
Wow.
It's like, okay, this guy's not a dummy because he has that kind of money. Huh. Boy, this doesn't feel like the smartest move that a guy could make. Unless there's some merchandising that I'm unaware of that he's dialed in on.
Somebody's got the long game, huh?
Yeah, he had to cover that. Well, I would think that that's part of the challenge, Eric, either with the planning with what the school is doing or the classes or the kids taking the classes or the faculty, is, okay, where are we going to go in mm-hmm. a year and a half? Where are we going to go in 2 years? This isn't for 3 weeks from when this new semester starts.
No.
This is now setting precedent for down the road, and we'll talk about some of those challenges when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this Friday with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Eric, the concept of projecting down the road, we do such a very poor job of that, and even having interest in what is next year. Just look at personal savings, okay, or loading up the credit card and then being surprised that you have to pay it back.
Retirement planning should not be a surprise.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking at the federal level, too, with a certain bill that was passed. You know, it's like, okay. But with what you guys and gals are doing now also, I mean, it's for the kids. They have have a game plan laid out. But for what you're doing, too, you know, what classes are offered, when are they offered? And now if you start getting, let's say, strong following with night classes or, I guess, fringe, late afternoon.
Sure.
You know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock start times. And that starts to get traction.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's what they want. Uh-oh. This isn't a fill. This is a high demand time.
Right.
How do you figure that stuff out before you're up to your alligators?
I'm asking my alligators to climb a little bit higher. Yeah. Yeah, well, you've put your finger on a whole lot of stuff right there. I mean, that's precisely what I think most of us, not just on the academic side of the house, but also the facilities side of the house, all the student services, we're looking at how on earth do you actually now implement this polytechnic growth and vision and how to make this work. And it's getting really urgent and tactical because this is fall 2023. And so,
well, and not only that. This isn't your max capacity enrollment.
No.
This is the easy time.
Yes.
Yeah.
One would imagine.
Let's double it.
Yeah.
Or triple it. Now let's talk about facilities management.
Well, fortunately, 12,000 is
that not it,
that's the target, right? That's where we're aiming for. It's in the Polytechnic prospectus that we filed with the system and published and all that.
Yeah, but so if that's you become a high destination place, it's going to be tough not to build another building.
This is true.
Just make
but
it happen.
If we look at what Cal Poly SLO does, they do actually have competitive admissions, and so they've capped the number of spots they have available. So we could get into that space.
Slack.
We're not there yet. Yeah, we'll just take them all. And we'll send the rest to Cal Poly Pomona.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, we do have funds to build a couple more buildings and to get some housing out there on the ground, and we're working on where to put students already by fall. But you put your finger on the nature of exactly all the discussions that we end up having most of the week. I know Jen Capps, who's normally in this chair, directs this implementation campus-wide with our vice president for finance and administration. And they have all of us, deans, associate deans, vice presidents, et cetera, pulling in teams. And so I get the pleasure of working with our associate vice president for facilities management, helping to look at how do you do buildings, transit flow, housing, all these other things. I'm thankful that he's got the
systems, baby.
systems, big-time systems, but then also connecting it to the budget systems and how many people were we planning to enroll and how many people were we planning to hire and what did we get funded for? What will we get funded for with tuition revenue and balancing? Talk about crystal ball.
Does tuition cover the cost of a student?
Not in the Cal State system. It is, we got about 70, a little over 70%, I think, of our budget for Cal State comes from state appropriations. So that's tax dollars at work. That puts us in a pretty high fraction, actually. So tuition covers some.
So a third, roughly?
I'm going to guess that's about right.
And
that's, again, kind of not squarely in my wheelhouse. So that's kind of just guesstimating.
But as a ballpark, I mean, as you're looking at the maintenance and build outs and some of this other stuff, having more kids doesn't mean there's more net money to be able to play with.
It sounds like it's not directly. Not directly. Indirectly, there is. And so, but then it involves the entire system because the CSU is 23 branches of this one enormous university.
You mean it's 1 plus 22?
It's us and then the others we let in.
Yeah. All those Southern California folks.
Yeah, whatever.
Wherever they are.
Yes.
Well, that's part of it also, is I would think that there's a temptation to go Humboldt for Humboldt.
There is.
Okay, particularly because we're so far away. It's not like you're being inundated with folks driving an hour and a half from another campus, popping in, and you guys having joint meetings all the time.
Nope, that's true. We end up sharing a little bit more with the profile of places like Cal State Chico, Chico State, and then CSU Channel Islands is a little bit of a destination.
Where, huh?
Exactly. So
Channel Islands. Like it's a marine laboratory for Berkeley.
It used to be, let's see, and then there's also Monterey Bay, which I think used to be, Fort Ord back in the day? And Channel Islands was out there kind of past Ventura. It's a former military installation, I think, that was handed off to the state.
Oh.
And they said, we need another CSU campus. And so, boom.
Sure, you betcha.
You betcha.
At least they're not the banana slugs, right?
that's Santa Cruz.
What are they like the taken. Dolphins or something? I know Monterey popped up along with Santa Cruz since I've been paying tuition.
There you go.
Channel Islands. Yeah, that sounds like a vacation spot.
But those are places where students need to decide to go there because they're not just drifting in, working some job, part-time job, and going to hit the sort of commuter campus style.
Well, we're kind of in that same boat here, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. And matter of fact, for a lot of folks, this is the farthest place they can go away from home and still get in-state tuition. That's the line that you hear, right?
That still is in effect, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And always will be. I mean, I would love to find ways to attract more of our own local population to come and stay, and I think that's working, but at the end of the day, we're always going to be importing students from the rest of the state
at
some level.
You better.
Oh, yeah. Because we're not going to have enough.
There'll be a former dean somewhere.
Don't tempt me. There are days.
Yeah, no kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Some of the fun, I would think, is some of this planning, too. Obviously, you've got a calling to be a teacher or a sharer or a mentor or a leader, et cetera.
Teacher, for sure, was my initial calling. There you go.
But the management side of things, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think unless folks have walked through that process, understand how different management is from doing the do, whatever the do is.
Right.
Not being able to, and now you're something different, and you really can't go back.
No, absolutely not. And I think the part of this planning effort that I've found most rewarding is interacting with community members, the business community, Rotaries.
You mean this show?
This show.
This is one of your highlights?
I love this show. This is cool. This is fun. But this is the level of community engagement that's been really rewarding, and especially coming in as you know, somebody from the other portion of the state, right? The LA,
we call them carpetbaggers or interlopers. Take your pick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yes,
but I would think, Eric, if you're a teacher,
yeah,
maybe not elementary school, but beyond that,
mm-hmm.
you almost have a fiduciary obligation to get your butt out of the classroom and be part of the community, whatever the community is.
Agreed.
And talk and find out what's going on and to get that feedback loop. And those that don't, I think, are almost committing fraud to a certain – I mean, if you want to take it that far.
I'll let you take it that far. Okay. I'm not going to take it that far.
Yeah, that's right. You got to deal with them.
No, but I think some people are better off engaging in the communities that are most relevant to their students as much as they can, but then also kind of
Safely and wisely, well, and figure, little bits.
And figuring out where are you functioning as a private citizen, where are you functioning as an agent of the university. And the thing that I find most rewarding up here is the interaction. And I gather this has not always been the case with the university, but now much deeper engagement with, you know,
the fact that
industry.
You say hi is a whole lot more engagement than what a lot.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's criminal, actually. I think it's...
Yeah. Well, and how can you... How could you do it that way instead of being part of? And it just is... And maybe it's a personality trait that we both have. I'd feel handicapped.
Yeah.
What are those things?
Handcuffed.
Not handicapped, right. But maybe both. By not being able to.
And so many of our students, former students, are now members of the community, powerful members of the community, running businesses, are running agencies. I think interacting like that and paying attention to the entire loop of how people arrive in school, that this is just a portion of their journey. And if anything, we have a much bigger responsibility, especially being a large employer in the area, the largest employer in the region, right? And we need to... I think we have a responsibility to engage, and frankly, I think it serves the community better, serves the state better if we have this whole area prosper.
Well, so. You've got these resources that are available, mm-hmm. and all you have to do is make a phone call,
right?
Pop into a store or a business.
Yeah,
you got 15 minutes. Like, I got a question. Who's going to say no?
Right. Well, and this is the classic kind of one degree of separation that you find around here, where everybody knows everybody knows everybody. And that's an asset, I think. I mean, it also means that one has to behave responsibly in our communities, but, you know.
Yeah, so if you're going to be a squirrel, you leave town. I mean,
right.
Yeah. But I don't think that's a big secret, but, yeah, I mean, if you get stupid in your hometown, yeah, everybody knows about it very quickly.
Well, and that's not as true for a lot of our friends across the CSU that are embedded in much, much bigger communities. If you're Cal State Los Angeles, sure, you have a big impact on the region just the same, but it doesn't have the same outsized influence, I think.
No. And you're not recognized in the grocery store.
That's right. You're quite the same way.
Yeah.
And I think the fun that I've seen in the management aspect of the entire Cal Poly transformation has been re-envisioning the entire region with the region. And so this isn't something that happens to the space, it happens with.
Yeah.
And it's a mindset.
Well, and even recognition that not only is the school one of the primary drivers, but the community is also a driver of the school.
Indeed.
Instead of having that wall, that goofy sign.
which goofy sign?
Yeah, at 14th Street, you know, you come up off 101.
Oh, our nice Spanish tile gates there.
Yeah. That somebody got paid big bucks for that, I know, but it's like, are you kidding?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm no architect, but it's like...
It seems out of place.
Spanish mission style?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Sarah
came up this far.
I don't think the Franciscans made it here.
No.
I mean, when I was at San Diego State on the faculty there, it made sense that everything had Spanish tile roofs.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yep. That's
give us shingles on ours.
Right. Yeah, or plank house or something like that, right?
Okay. Yeah, either way. Biggest takeaway so far, has it been that acceptance by the community that's been kind of like the really cool thing that has been discovered and embraced, or are there other things there that rival that?
I think that's about the size of it. I have been struck how many people actually, like you just did, saying, oh, well, the university used to be at best sort of, just kind of ignored the community, or sometimes was even overtly like, no, we don't want to do that because that's not what the state needs. But I think now there's a recognition, there's an alignment, and that's great.
A partnership.
Yeah.
An alignment. That kind of sounds like your auto mechanic.
It sounds very corporate. I know our interests are aligned.
Oh, no. I was thinking tires.
Those two. They work better when they're pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Happy New Year.
Thanks. Yeah, in advance, assuming we get there. 2022 is not done.
Oh, come on. We already had our earthquake.
Okay, all right. Check that box.
All right. See everybody on Monday.